Is this thing on? Okay. Yeah, great. Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. In 2019, we are going to be going on the road for select live dates. That's right. We're going to be doing Real Ghost Stories Online live and on location at select dates around the United States in 2019. If you want tickets, all you got to do is go to our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and then click on tour dates. These are going to be intimate live shows with like 50 to 100 people only in limited capacity areas. Real one-on-one stuff where you can share your stories with us. We will discuss person to person and really have an amazing night on our select dates. To see where we're going to be and what tickets are available right now, go to realghoststoriesonline.com, click on tour dates, and if you're in one of those areas or willing to travel a little bit, get some tickets and see us live in 2019 as we take Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks on the road. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com, click tour dates. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a teenager gets the fright of their life alone at home one Halloween night. Some type of dark entity manifests itself late at night to curious hikers in the forest, and bruises and burns are the byproduct of being in proximity to an active Ouija board. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in and share your real ghost stories with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file, send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. We'd absolutely love to hear your stories. Send them in anytime you want. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I may use them on a future episode of the program. If you really like the show, you want to get be a part of it and help support it, keep it on the air, become an EPP, extra podcast person. You get access to all those bonus episodes in full at ghostpodcast.com. You can hear what those sound like every Thursday. We put a preview out of that week's episode. You get access to all 200 some of those advanced episodes of the program and more. Ghostpodcast.com for all of that. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. Hi.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. The dog got a new toy today, a duck, not a real living duck. We didn't go grab one from the park, although I'm sure he'd like that. But one of the foam ones, mm-hmm. and he's defoamed it.
And so now he can just carry it around, and it's like a blanket with a beak, almost.
I don't know what his obsession is with, and I know dogs tear things apart, but like he likes to try and eat blankets. He put a hole in his new bed that I got him today, and I looked down there. I thought he was just chewing on his bone, and all of a sudden there's like just fluff everywhere. I'm like, what are you doing? And yeah.
It's called having a puppy.
They like it.
They do.
I guess it's kind of like kids. Did you ever like, I know Harper like chews on her sweater.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever do that with anything? Did you ever have it's going to sound horrible. Did you ever have an oral fixation as a child on like a piece of clothing or anything you just like to chew on essentially?
No, because I have a problem with wet fabric. It's a challenge for me not to gag when I take the wet clothes from the washer and put them in the dryer. Because
really?
Wet fabric makes me gag all the time.
The hell is that?
I don't know. It's a texture thing.
Yeah.
It's just one of the really neat things about me that makes me gag. So.
Well, so when you were a kid, I mean, what about like swimming suits and stuff? I mean, is it different?
It's a different feel. Okay. If it's like cottony, socks are the worst. If I touch a wet sock, it's not even like I'm thinking it's sweaty. It's just if it's just wet and I know it's clean from the washer, that wet cottony texture makes me gag.
So if it was like water balloon day on the last day of school and nobody brought a swimsuit, but they're just, you know, everybody's getting wet and just having fun, you couldn't do it because it would be...
I was over by the monkey bars.
It'd be like regular clothes getting wet. You can't do that.
I just don't like that. That's why I don't like to play water guns. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I don't like to do because of that.
It's really weird because when we do play water guns as with the kids,
you do go to the monkey bars. We don't even have monkey bars. It's like a mile down the road at the park. It's like, we're doing water guns. And like, where's Jen? She's at the monkey bars. And the kids are like, what? We don't, what? She likes, so, yeah, I don't know.
You remember when you put up on Facebook me doing that slip and slide? That took extra courage for me to do the slip and slide because I was not in my swimsuit.
You did. You did do that.
Yeah.
And you threw up at the bottom.
No.
And now the kids never use the slip and slide ever again. They're like, what the hell is, Mom? 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first one. It says, growing up, I thought that a ghost was nothing but a bunch of malarkey, but last October, things changed my mind. It was the night of Halloween. Yes, I know it sounds cliche. I remember I was watching Halloween 2 when a strange noise came from the basement. I initially just blew it over since it was an old house. I remember properly, I think it was built in the 1940s, but it was all redone to look modern. As I continued to watch the movie, I couldn't help but notice the fact that the noise was getting louder, like it wanted my attention. My mom and dad were out taking my brother trick-or-treating, so I couldn't run to my dad and have him check it. Thought it was a good idea to check it out, even though I was scared. And as I touched the doorknob, I got a cold breeze. When I opened the door, expecting to see something, I was relieved, as I saw nothing but darkness. But suddenly, I heard the noise, but it was further down, and my heart sank. My open mind was thinking for the worst, such as an intruder or murderer. When I stepped down from the steps, to my surprise, I saw nothing. But that's when I heard giggling from a child. I was so terrified that I darted out of the house and waited till my parents got home. My father checks the basement. He said it was probably my imagination and watching all those scary movies. Nothing happened after that till around January, when I was lying in my bed and I was texting some friends and just got done sending a Snapchat, when I heard the giggling again. But this time, I could feel something touching me, but more of a pressure touching me, being put in my leg. It was enough to make me yank my leg back. I was terrified. I thought to myself, something should be able to explain this. I asked some of the neighbors if they knew who lived in this house previously, and to my surprise, they told me that there was a little girl that was nothing but trouble, hurting people, breaking things. Her name was Emily. Every time I hear giggling, I just yell, "Go away, Emily." I don't know whether this is a good ghost or a bad one. Hopefully, you guys can tell me what you think. Since that experience, nothing has happened. Just the occasional creak at night and the slight sound of footsteps and the giggling. But I've learned to live with it. It'd be interesting to know if Emily had passed away or not.
Yeah, that would be kind of a big piece of that puzzle. I think maybe Emily knew that she was watching a scary movie and just took the opportunity to prey upon that.
Yeah. You have to wonder, though, too, when you're hearing noises and stuff, there are animals that sound like children.
Foxes sound like crying babies.
Mm-hmm. She said giggling, so mm-hmm. I don't really hear foxes or raccoons giggling, but they do make a very distinct crying sound.
Yeah, but this is not just confined to the basement. This sure. moved up to her room, yeah. and... You know, she felt the pressure of something touching her while there was a giggle. I have 100% confidence it's not an animal.
Yeah, I do too. I was just throwing that out there for something to think about with the raccoons. Because I remember we're at my parents' house where we heard it sounded like
screech owls.
Was it the owls or was it raccoons?
I don't know, but there was something, because it was summertime, so we were sleeping with the windows open. And... Yeah. It kept making this like shriek sound. It sounded like a toddler screaming. And Harper was like two or three at the time. And I swear, every time we heard that, we jumped because we thought Harp needed us. And then we realized it's something outside.
We thought Harper climbed into the high parts of an oak tree and was crying.
No.
At 2 or 3 in the morning. It's like, Harper got up in the oak tree.
No.
No. She's not a climber.
No, she's not. She's very safety conscious.
I like that.
I do too.
It's a good thing.
She gets on her friends when they do something that's not safe.
She does. I was the same way. I never, the extent that I ever attempted to climb a tree was really pathetic. It was, we had an apple tree in our backyard at the house I lived in until I was about 3. And there was like essentially a twig growing out of the ground, which would have just been an extended part of the apple tree, you know, just another branch mm-hmm. growing up, but it was just kind of cut. So it was, you know, if you were, you know, that size, you could stand on it and it would support the weight of a 3-year-old. So I would stand on the little twig stump thing coming out of the base of the apple tree, and I would just hug the apple tree And I could stand out there for like hours, and I would be playing, and I'd be climbing the tree in my mind. And my mom was like, go climb the apple tree. And I would just sit out there, and there's 3-year-old me hugging an apple tree, thinking this is what tree climbing is all about. Just wrapping yourself around the tree for dear life. And and it really wasn't that tall of a tree. I mean, most children probably would have climbed it and explored it further. I, however, had no interest. I was good with the 6 inches that I was off the ground. High enough for me. Didn't need to go any higher than that. So there you go. Back to the show in just a moment. Want to thank our supporter today, Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there's no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. Simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data and place trades in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can view stock collections such as the 100 most popular. I enjoy that personally. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood right now giving our listeners of Real Ghost Stories Online a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at realghost.robinhood.com. That's Real Ghost, RealGhost, .robinhood.com. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. The next letter says, back in 2010, my friend and I went outside in his backyard forest, which is a couple of acres, at probably close to 1 a.m. to go and explore. There's a cliff when you first walk on the property. We were standing at the cliff before the pathway leading down to the rest of the forest, and I could see a tall, white, illuminated figure. It was in between 2 trees, kind of moving around between the trees. I asked my friend if he saw it, and he said yes, and we stood silently in fear, and I could feel impending doom. The best way I can describe it is the feeling you get when someone dies, or you're about to die, the feeling of dread inside your chest like you're helpless. We left very quickly because we had no clue what it was, and it scared us. I remember my friend yelling something at it, and it was just silent, very silent, moving between the trees. The figure was pure white, seemed to be at least 6 to 7 feet tall from where we were standing, which was about 30 to 40 feet away from us. It had no physical appearance, except for very long arms. It kind of looked like how an ape would have its arms out, but they were very long and was pitch black around it. But it seemed to be illuminated white somehow. There's no neighbors that are very close to the location because I said his forest is a couple of acres. To this day, the feeling that I got when I saw this thing still gives me shivers. Something so powerful that it emits a powerful vibe of fear and death. The fact that we went out to his forest that time late at night and happened to see that freaks me out as well because it was meant to be seen by us. If we went out any later or any sooner, we might not have seen what it was as it manifested in his forest at that moment in time. I'm not sure the history of Mystiki, but it directly lines up with this location. I'm not sure what that is. I think there's possibly a ley line underneath this location connecting to it. If there were Native American burial grounds, there was a ley line connecting both locations that would explain the paranormal activity. There's also a small flowing river that streams close by in the forest where we saw the entity. I find this very interesting because I heard water acts as a conductor for paranormal activity as well. What do you guys think?
It's hard to know if that feeling of dread is because you realize, oh my gosh, I'm seeing a ghost, or if it's because you're seeing something that's giving off that bad of a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to know.
I think if you're in the forest at that time, in the middle of the night, and you see anything like that, it's going to feel bad, even if it's good.
Mm-hmm.
You just, I don't really know how or what situation I would ever be where I'm like, oh, that feels comforting. You know, just to see this thing out there. So, yeah, I mean, I think your initial reaction is going to be bad and kind of disturbing. We saw lights in our woods Oh, it's a couple months back.
I still think it's the wastewater place over at the bottom of the valley. Yep. I mean, honestly,
it's the wastewater place.
Okay, fine. It's a spook light over there. I don't know.
I talked about this in another episode that you weren't on. And I just said, Jenny kept saying, I think it's a wastewater plant. And I just eventually said, yep. Because it was nighttime and I knew she wanted to sleep that night.
Well, so, and there was a storm coming in and everything. Yeah. So who knows what it was.
I don't think it was a wastewater plant, but I'm not saying it couldn't be something else logical.
Okay.
I just don't think it was the direction of the wastewater plant.
Okay.
I don't think it puts itself in that location. But I wouldn't be surprised if there was like another light down the hill, like a street lamp of some sort that was kind of shining through the trees, because it was fall or winter. Or
yeah, it was actually winter.
Yeah. So most of the leaves are gone, so you can see more than you normally do down there. And that's probably why it stood out to us more than anything, because we normally wouldn't see it with leaves on the trees. At least that's what I like to tell myself. But it did feel like it was moving.
That's because the tree was swaying in front of it. So, yeah, that makes it feel like it's moving.
But it was whispering things.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Nope.
I was hearing it whisper things.
You know I'm the first one to jump on something and say it's ghostly if it is.
Yeah. You didn't have any weird feelings.
No, it was just the light down at the bottom of the hill.
Even though it was whispering the lyrics to Yamo Be There.
Oh, yeah.
That's what made it weird.
At least it wasn't whispering the lyrics to Hazard.
There's a little river down there, too.
Mm-hmm.
I swear no, I left her by the river.
I'm not going to do the show anymore with you if you keep singing.
We got her back for a couple weeks, folks. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Another letter. It says, hey, Tony and Jenny, I'm a happy EPP. Love you guys. You wrote in before about an experience with an entity named Chief. I have one more story to that. So my sister's friends were consistently playing with a Ouija board. He came in contact with an entity he named Kitty because it would scratch the shit out of him. He said he'd randomly let Kitty take control of him to the point my sister thought he was possessed. She was going to school for youth ministry and thought it would be a good idea to try to do an exorcism on him because he was having regular occurrences of paranormal activity in their house along with him getting the shit scratched out of him. So my sister got the entity away from her friend, but it somehow followed her to our house. I didn't learn any of the above until this year when my sister decided to tell me. So it started out with me having nightmares every night. When I would go to sleep, wake up in a panic from a dream, just fall back into the same progressing nightmare every time I went back to sleep. But whenever I woke up, there was a tall, dark mass in the corner of my room right in front of the mirror. I'd wake up in pain, covered in hand-shaped bruises. The nightmares and bruises happened consistently for 5 days. I'd try not to go to sleep at night out of fear of having these nightmares. On the last night, I woke screaming bloody murder. My dad and sister came to my bedroom. I asked what was wrong. I kept screaming, it burns, to make it stop. I was grabbing my back, and my dad picked up the back of my shirt, and I had 3 burned scratch marks that were appearing on my back while they were watching. I told them about the nightmares, and Dad ran out of the room to get his Bible. So did my sister. Both of them prayed with me, and we all prayed out loud together. They read Bible verses, and Dad said he's getting his anointing oil that he got in Jerusalem. We were going to do our own house blessing until we could get our pastor out to our house. We all prayed and did the house blessing. After that, it felt like a weight had been lifted off me and the house. I felt lighter and not in horrible fear anymore. I never want to go through anything like that again. Let's hope I never encounter something like that again. I think I might be sensitive since I have been experiencing stuff like this. What do you guys think? If you don't share my story, that's fine. Just let me know your opinions. Thoughts?
I think your sister needs to really evaluate how she decides who to be friends with. If she's being friends with somebody that willingly lets something possess them, I don't think that's a good friendship.
Oh, what kid doesn't do that?
A lot of kids don't do that. That's just not okay. But no, for real, I think they did the right thing, you know, getting it cleaned out. And it probably did follow her sister home from the other house.
You know, in growing up, I remember, you know, my dad doesn't believe in ghosts, but my mom always didn't. And so we talk about ghosts a lot. It wasn't like a conversation or a topic that was like off limits, like some homes are. It's like, oh, we don't, you know, or that's all malarkey. Or I mean, my dad would have that attitude, but we would still talk. At least me and my mom would about it. But I can't conceive of this idea And I know it's common because it happens in our stories, but to me, it just seems so like, oh, that just only happens in TV shows or I don't know, where they have an experience and mom and dad like have the demon away kit ready to go. It's like, oh shit, I know exactly what to do. And he goes and gets the anointing oil he got in Jerusalem and they know exactly what prayers to start saying. And they're just like, oh yeah, we prep for this in health class.
You know, it's not bad stuff to know.
No, it's not. I'm just saying, to me, I'm picturing it happening when these people are sharing their stories. I'm not doubting. I'm just saying it seems like such a foreign concept to me because whenever you hear a story, you almost kind of put yourself in their shoes and you're thinking, at least that's what I do. Uh-huh. I'm like, well, what would this be like if it were me in my house? There's no way I could even, it doesn't even like register. It's like, let me go get my oil that I got, you know, in Jerusalem. And then, you know, mom breaks out the Bible and has, I know exactly what to pray for. It's like, they're prepared. They're prepared for this shit. And it makes you wonder though, if they're that prepared and they know exactly where to go. I mean, either they're very, very religious and they just know this stuff like the back of their hand, which may be the case and that's fine.
Well, especially if they've made a trip to Jerusalem.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, there's Jerusalem Disney now too.
There is. Which, God, Tony.
You got to see the Space Mountain there.
Don't.
Oh my God.
You're terrible.
But there's, or it makes me wonder, did mom and dad go through quite an experience at one point in their life, a paranormal experience of their own that maybe hasn't been, because they didn't even like mention like mom and dad are ready with this because they had stuff happen too. Mm-hmm. It makes you wonder if they had some experiences and that's why they essentially have the break the glass go-to kit should it happen again.
Yeah.
Being that prepared. Because mm-hmm. I guess my question would be, and this is maybe just me not knowing, if you have the oil, you're kind of prepared and knowing exactly where to go to read, at least the oil would be my bigger question, would be if you weren't going to be using the oil for something like this to get the demon away it, for lack of a better term, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, that's just how I talk about exercising ghosts, if you've listened to the show for any period of time.
I didn't know you called that. I'm joking.
Where the hell have you been?
I'm joking.
What else would you use it for, I guess? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I legitimately don't know the answer to that. It's not like you're going to put it in your bath, you know? It's like an essential oil. It's like, what would the other use be? Or do you just have it for this sort of a purpose? And it just kind of sits in waiting if you ever have to use it. I don't know.
I don't know. I would think if you have the opportunity to get it, why not have it?
Sure. Saw it at Whole Foods the other day. I did see, but I did see sage for smudging.
Okay.
It wasn't at Whole Foods. It was a different natural health food store. Yeah.
Okay.
And it wasn't even, I wouldn't even say it was like a, because when you say health food store, you almost think of like Uber vitamin-y type. No, this was like pretty much a market that just sells mainly organic food.
Okay.
It was Lucky's. I mean, it's not an advertisement for Lucky's, but that's it's a chain if you have one. But I was like really kind of surprised. Mm-hmm. It was right by the salad bar too, which was also you can get your egg salad and your smudging sage. So
okay,
all in one aisle. I don't know. I was surprised to see it there. Like, well, maybe this is taking more hold. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over to a caller. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, this is Kelly calling from New Hampshire. I've called a couple times. I called in about a nurse class story, and I also called in on one of the live shows. But love the vibe of the new EPP episodes. Love your show. So I'll just get into one of my other stories. So it was freshman year of college. We had roommates, and one of my roommates decided to invite some of us to go up to our grandma's house in Maine just to kind of get away from the week for the weekend. You know, college is stressful when you're a freshman. Not really, but we thought it was. So we went up to her grandma's house in Maine for a weekend. So when we got there, I was just like, it was just awe-inspiring how beautiful her grandma's house was. Big. It was built by her husband, who had since passed. Just a really beautiful house located near a blueberry field. So I walked in, and it was just amazing. You know, it kind of gave me, I wouldn't say a negative vibe by any means, but just kind of like an uneasy vibe. Like, I didn't really feel like I was welcome there, but not by any of the humans that were there, if you know what I mean. So, but obviously I kept that to myself, because I don't really think that they are the type to, entertain that. So anyway, nighttime, my two friends decide they're sleeping upstairs on the same floor as the grandma, and my dumbass decided I was going to sleep downstairs by myself. So I was in a room that had two twin beds. I was sleeping in one of them. So I was in the bed, the lights were still on, and I was like, okay, time to go to bed. I was just dreading it. I stayed up so late, and I never stay up late, but I just did not. I didn't feel comfortable, like, specifically in that room. So finally, I, got the courage, ran, turned the light off, and, like, sprinted back to the bed, because it just felt like somebody was watching me. That feeling when you turn off the lights and you just want to run into bed. You don't want the monsters to get your feet from underneath the bed. That's what I did. So I climbed into bed. I just, like, put the covers right over me. And I don't know why. I just felt super weird. So I was on my phone to kind of take my mind off of how weird I was feeling. And then it just started to go downhill. Like, the vibe in the room, I just felt like somebody was there. And again, it wasn't negative, but it was definitely, like, overpowering. Kind of like, you're not really welcome here. So it just kept getting worse and worse. I'm trying to distract myself on my phone. Finally, I'm, like, texting my friend, not the one who are there with me, but I'm texting them, like, okay, this house is really creepy, like, blah, 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 trying to make a joke out of it. And it just got to a point where it was stifling, not only because I was underneath the covers and it was getting hot, but because just, like, it felt so heavy in the room. And I was finally, like, thinking, I'm like, should I leave? Like, it's what, 2 a.m.? I'm like, should I leave? Like, and as I'm, like, it's getting to the point where it's unbearable, I felt something pull on my back right foot, and I tried to pretend that I didn't feel it, because I was like, you know what, I'm not going to give whatever this is the satisfaction of knowing that I felt it tug on my leg. So I literally did not move. I waited 5 minutes. I stayed in the same position because I didn't want it knowing that I knew or that I was aware, because I just didn't think it would be a good idea to feed into it. So after 5 minutes, I kind of slowly take my legs up and just wrap myself in the fetal position, and I slept like that all night. And the next day I didn't say anything, because I don't want to make my friend feel, like, embarrassed or anything. And I don't think she knows even to this day. But yeah, that was my creepy main story. And come to find out, my cousin, whom I've always been really close with, this is kind of random, but she was visiting relatives in Massachusetts, and their house also kind of has some weird energy. It was also built by my great aunt Alice's husband. She also woke up in the middle of the night that night and saw somebody standing at the end of her bed, and she has bad vision, so she couldn't really get a clear picture of who it was. And she was just like, hello? And then whomever it was just walked away. So I thought it was kind of cool that we both had creepy experiences on the same night. Now we get to reminisce together how we, had something strange happen on the same night. So, yeah. Hope you enjoyed those. Have a good one, guys.
So I've kind of got to wonder, the ghost that, like, touched her foot and she felt the whole time, makes me wonder if maybe it was just curious who this person was, you know, that was staying in this house where, you know, they're probably only used to seeing that friend's grandmother.
What's the ghost touching people's feet?
I don't know.
Like, why is that like the safe thing to do as a ghost?
Probably because it's far away from your hands. Not that if you batted at it, it would hit anything.
Yeah.
But still.
I don't know, I'm just thinking, like, if you're a ghost and you want someone to know that you're there, I don't know that that's what I would be doing. I don't know. I mean, what would you do? If you're like, okay, I'm here. You don't know me, but I want you to...
I don't think I'd mess with people.
Why not?
I'm not a people person. I won't be a people ghost.
What's going to totally happen is you're going to suddenly, like, discover you want to be a people person when you're dead.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, shit.
That's kind of the way it
is. Now I can't.
Now I can't communicate with the living.
They're like, oh, I really want to talk to these people now. It's like, what the hell? I don't know what the right way would be to let someone know that you're there without startling them. Mm-hmm. I think maybe like writing on the mirror after a shower, just something.
You do that when right now.
I know, but if I was a ghost, I think I would do that too, and just like I'm here. Then that would probably freak somebody out. But I guess it'd be better than. You know, I guess like being grabbed by the ghost or seeing the ghost in the reflection in the mirror.
You know, my other thought with the story and then the tie-in with her sister is that I thought maybe other than having been touched by a separate ghost, could she have just been feeling what her sister was feeling?
Like, what do you call that? I know what you mean, but I don't know.
Kind of an empathic connection there.
Yeah, yeah. I get what you're saying. I don't know. I mean, that could very well be... you know, what was going on in that certain scenario. It's hard to know. Thanks for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go over to this one. Hi.
So when I was about 8 or 9, I got up early for school, and I met my dad in the hallway. And we had this dog that liked to sleep in the hallway because it was equidistant from everyone's sleeping spaces. So we're both standing next to the dog, waiting for the bathroom in the morning. And he says, good morning. And I say, good morning. And it's dark in our house in the hallway. And we hear this man's voice say, good morning. And we both look at each other and give, you know, this look of surprise. And I said, did you say that? He said, no, did you say that? And then we both look at our sleeping dog, very cartoon-like, this interaction, and blame it on the dog. And then for years after that, we said that, oh my gosh, the dog talked, and it was just like some weird, you know, biology, some weird sigh that made her, you know, sound like a man saying good morning and echoing us. Now that I'm older and am not as afraid of ghosts as I was when I was 8 or 9, I mean, I realized it wasn't the dog talking, but... yeah, just an interesting little story. To this day, 20 years later, my dad still says that it was the dog.
What do you think, the dog or something else?
I think something else, trying to play with them, making them on purpose think it's a dog.
Yeah. Do you think something could possess a dog or an animal to start speaking, like... Or to make noises that are, because anything's possible with what we talk about. But like the other day, our dog sounded like it even said a word.
Yeah, but it was just kind of a groan, you know?
Like, oh.
Yeah. It sounded like I love you, but it was just a groan.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you can teach dogs to, you know.
Groan certain ways.
Yeah, to where that it sounds like something. But if the dog's asleep, it's not the dog talking.
It's easier to believe it's a dog talking. Than
it's more fun.
Yeah, than to accept what may actually have happened there. Creepy and funny story. I bet there's a lot of folks who have moments like that with their pets. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. If you like it, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person, ghostpodcast.com to do that. Get access to all the bonus episodes of the program, advanced episodes, and more at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.